Hi, I'm Trekkie Rob from Trek Book Club, and you're listening to the Warm Blanket Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Warm Blanket Podcast, where we embark on a journey to see what makes us feel good about Star Trek, where the love comes from, and what it means for us. In short, what is our warm blanket? My name is Gary, I am your host, and I'm very honored to welcome my special guest today, Rob, for many of us in Twitter, better known as Trekkie Rob, the founder of the Trek Book Club. The Trek Book Club is where he opens up everyone's eyes to the wonder of the Star Trek literature. He's one of the kindest, most enthusiastic and generous soul who I ever had the fortune to come across with over my journey. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a very warm welcome to the one and only Trekkie Rob. How are you today, sir?
Wow, that was far too kind. Thank you.
It's true. Like, as I mentioned off camera, and we know each other as much as I always think so much of you. Which I hope is a good thing. and you are one of the kindest person out there. And I'm really just fortunate to know you indirectly, because I think we never really met in person.
We haven't. No, we've talked about it for quite a while, but we haven't had the chance to meet yet. But hopefully one day soon.
It's crazy because I remember I wanted to see you. Bless you. I wanted to see you in the Destination Convention. I think it was last year. Yes, it was last year. Yep. Yeah, in Birmingham. And then I know we talked about to go down to Kent for the Sci-Fi on the Beach.
Yeah, I
kept missing that one. I was like, every time when there was something, I always kept missing it. So it's really good that finally, like, virtually, we can just sit down and talk a little bit and geek out and get to know you a bit more. Through this podcast, through this 45, 50, about an hour that we're going to embark on. So before we go any further, there's one thing I wanted to ask. What's the proper go-to drink for a Star Trek pub quiz?
Oh, gosh. Well, do you know what? One of the questions I had, I put in one of my Star Trek pub quizzes that I did recently was from an episode of TOS, and it stumped almost everyone. They didn't get it. It was, I can't remember exactly the episode it was from, but it's a drink that Dr. McCoy offers Kirk when he's, I think, feeling down or depressed. And it was called a Finagle's Folly. I said to people, what's the drink in this episode that McCoy offers Kirk? And nobody knew. So maybe I'd make that one.
Well, you totally lost me because I didn't remember until you told me that. Finagle's, I don't even know.
What's in it? I don't know. But, you know, it does the trick for Kirk.
But it's almost like Romulan ale, like it's a blue liquid. God knows what's in it. I mean, we all know it's like iced Diet Coke or the blue Diet. No, it was Pepsi. Pepsi had this blue drink once.
Yeah, that old Powerade. It looks like something with a lot of sugar in it.
Probably
an energy drink, basically Romulan ale.
So, what inspired you about creating and making a Star Trek pop quiz night? Because you've been starting doing this for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, so I started it probably a few weeks into the lockdown, obviously because of, you know, all the awful events around, you know, the global pandemic, coronavirus. Yeah. And I just thought it'd be, you know, a nice chance for, it's not really about the quiz. It's, you know, it's not about scores or who does best or who knows Star Trek best. It's just a chance for people to come together and talk about Star Trek and just geek out, basically. I thought it'd be a nice opportunity for people to come together, have a chat, talk about their favorite episodes. That's why I did it, really. So I thought at these times, you know, when some people are really isolated and might be feeling anxious or down, it's a bit of a pick me up. And to be honest, it's a good excuse for me to keep me busy doing all the questions. So
Yeah, I guess there's quite a preparation goes into every one of these nights as well, right?
It takes a while to come up with all the questions. Yeah. I'm not like picking them out from a quiz book. I'm watching episodes and coming up with questions myself. And I try to do it like a mix. So there's some easy ones and some quite tricky ones. So, yeah. And there's a good mix of all the different series.
What was the hardest part to come up with? Like, you're like, oh my God, I have to, like, you know, everyone knows what's Quark's mother's name, but like,
when you say that, you don't know. Only if you've seen the episodes and you remember. It's funny. That's what true. Some people are really good with, like, you know, the names and locations. Other people are terrible at those and remember the events or, you know, specific series. So it's quite varied. It's really easy coming up with questions for, you know, like, name this starship and who is this person. But it's trickier coming up with questions that require knowledge of episodes. So, you know, the why, the what's, the who's, the where's, that sort of thing.
It's like, have you asked the question, like, how many times the Enterprise was in the center of the universe?
Not yet.
And we all know the answer is... I'm just teasing. So, as far as I know, you're a big Voyager fan. But I wonder, when did you get into Star Trek and how did you get into Star Trek?
So, I mean, I think I was always kind of aware of Star Trek in the background, you know, having saw the, you know, an odd few episodes of probably TNG on TV, but I never really watched them properly. They were kind of just on. And then when I was about probably maybe 12, 13, DS9 and Voyager, I was aware of those being on TV. And I think it was specifically around like the Dominion War in DS9 when that arc really started getting going.
Yeah.
And it was just something I would sit down with my dad and watch, and we both really enjoyed it. And even my stepmom had a bit of a crush on Captain Sisko, so even she watched it. So yeah, it was just something I got into, and I'd really enjoy watching it with my dad. Yeah, that's how I got into it, really. Just something that I enjoyed doing with, you know, like a bonding experience with my dad, because we both really enjoyed watching it.
Then what was it, because, you know, as I mentioned, and we talked a few times in private, being such a big Voyager fan, what was that, what captivated you really on about Voyager, that made you your favorite?
I think it's probably a similar story to a lot of people. It was what was going on in my life at the time, because I fully acknowledge that Voyager isn't necessarily the best Star Trek, but it's my favourite Star Trek. So at the time, I was, so about 12, 13, 14, my parents had divorced, so I didn't see a lot of my mum and my sisters. I lived with my dad and my stepmom. And so I really missed a lot, you know, my family. And Voyager had that real sense of family that, with the crew, and they'd all been thrown together, you know, exploring the Delta Quadrant, trying to get home. So I liked the sense of family that they had on Voyager. And growing up wasn't the easiest time for me. So it was Voyager just had this perfect sense of escapism. And like I said, it provided me with like a sense of security. It was really familiar, you know, going back to the same people, and they were always supporting each other, having adventures. And yeah, I just loved Voyager, and I still do. It's brilliant.
It is, really. And just you said, like, probably most people have similar experience to it. I mean, I kept thinking about myself, and selfishly, apologies. But I kind of had the same situation with Voyager. And even though I declare myself as an all-round Star Trek fan, like, I love everything that came before, and I'm getting used to what comes now.
But
Voyager was always a sweet spot. It has a sweet spot in my heart, because moving across countries as well, being alone, back in the days, it was difficult, and it really gave some warmth into my life, and just, you know, some realization that, hey, you just keep working towards your goals, and one day, you know, everything will be making sense, everything come together. So it
absolutely.
Voyager is a beautiful series, and gosh, just thinking about it, it makes me have goosebumps at the moment. So it's awesome. So how did you say the show influenced your life ever since you started watching?
So when I first got into Star Trek, as I said, I was about 12, 13. So I watched DS9, I watched Voyager. I didn't watch Enterprise so much when that came out. I kind of watched the odd episode, but I didn't really watch all of that properly. And then I did my GCSEs, my exams in secondary school, went to university, and I kind of, Star Trek was, I still enjoyed it, but I didn't really watch it as much. And it kind of fell off into the background. And then probably maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I kind of just started discovering like YouTubers like yourself, podcasts, you know, podcasters through like Trek FM, Trek Live, the Tricorder Transmissions, and lots of other fantastic Star Trek, you know, creators. And it kind of just reignited my interest in Star Trek. And I hadn't realized, because I grew up really not knowing anyone else that liked Star Trek like I did. And that was kind of like, say, 4 or 5 years ago, was when I discovered how big the fan community is, the Star Trek fan community is, and how awesome they are. You know, it just feels like, I know it sounds really, really cheesy, but it's like a little family. Even though some of these people you've never met, you feel, I genuinely feel really close to some of them. They're just, you know, on the whole, Trekkies are the most fantastic people. Some of the kindest, most caring, funniest, most generous people you can meet. So in terms of how it's influenced my life, in many, many ways, it's connected me with the fan community, and I've made some fantastic friends through Star Trek, and I've count you as one of them.
Thank you.
And genuinely, some lifelong friends, I think, people that have helped me through some really difficult times, people that I know that when I'm having a tough time, I can reach out to them, and you know, they'll be a friendly, you know, a friendly ear to listen to me, and you know, cheer me up. So it really has influenced my life in a lot of different ways, and also I try and, again, this might sound a bit cheesy, but Star Trek, you know, we all say that, you know, Star Trek's the future that we all want, we hope for, and I just think I try and be what the Star Trek universe teaches us, so to try and be kind, to try and be generous, to try and help your fellow human being, and that's what I try and, whenever I'm doing things, I try and think of, you know, I try and think of Star Trek and what people, you know, what those people do, what people in Starfleet do to help each other and help other people, and that's what I try and do. So yeah, it's influenced me in lots of different ways.
And I think you're doing it greatly. I mean, as I, and I did not say those words just out of, you know, kindness, because it comes from the heart, really. You're one of the kindest people I know from the community, and you always have a good word for everyone. When whatever happens in their life, you're always there, listening, and vice versa. It's really good to know that, you know, as you mentioned, the Star Trek community is full of inspiring people, and yeah, it's one of the best community to be a part of in terms of franchise. I never come across with anything like this before.
Absolutely, yeah, same. It's yeah, as I said, Trekkies are some of the the best people you can meet.
That's very true. And talking about influences, you influenced the literature part of the Trek community, because you have come up with, you founded the Trek Book Club, which is became a big staple now in the community. So tell me about a little bit about the Trek Book Club. How did you come up with the idea, and what's the, you know, what was the idea behind coming up with the Trek Book Club?
So I was at the point where I'd kind of consumed most of the Trek that was out there. Mm-hmm. Although there's some of the original series I haven't seen, and some of the animated series, but on the whole, I've consumed most of the Trek that was out there. So I thought, you know, I need new material. And I'd been aware of Star Trek books, mm-hmm. And I just didn't know where to start. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, you know what, I'll just delve right in. And I thought it'd be really cool to, rather than just read them on my own, to you know, discuss them with other people. And I'm a really slow reader, and I get very easily distracted. So having a purpose when I read really mm-hmm. helps me. So when I'm reading a Star Trek book, I take lots of notes, write lots of questions, and then I use that for the Trek Book Club when we have our discussions on Twitter. So it was just a good way for me to delve into the Star Trek literary universe, and to just to discuss them with other people that were reading Star Trek books and wanted to get into Star Trek books, because it can be very daunting, because there are so many Star Trek novels. When you look at, you know, there's some really cool flowcharts that people have done of all the novels mm-hmm. and how they link and what order to read them, and it can be quite daunting to know where to start. So that was part of Trek Book Club, the idea behind Trek Book Club as well, to try and help people, ease people into that mm-hmm. literary world.
So it's not just to, you know, because as you mentioned, there's so many of them. I don't know how much, but I can imagine that as much book as exists at the moment, that probably episodes out there from the all of the series, pretty much.
Do you know what? I don't know exactly how many there is, but my guess is there's probably more novels than there are episodes, but I don't know that for certain.
Which is kind of interesting.
There are a lot.
So in its own way, like because far as I'm aware, I think I have one or two books that I still haven't read. But for every series, you have a massive amount of books, and I have a feeling that for every series, you have like a second series, like another 7 season of books.
yeah. So there's some great, like if you want, a lot of them, they have like relaunch series. So they take off from where the TV series left off. So mm-hmm. if you wanted to find out what happens after the end of season 7 in DS9, or when Voyager make it back to Earth, the books fill in the gaps. So mm-hmm. that's what I like about them too, that they fill in bits that you don't know from the watching it on TV. So what happened before, what happened in between episodes, and what happens after we leave each series. And that's why I like them, especially with Voyager, because I know a lot of people, myself included, when Voyager get home, you want another half hour just to see them on Earth, and you finally get that with the books.
I knew which one you're talking about. What was the recent one that you, and I started reading it as well,
so the one
Project
the
Eden one,
not so that the one, one. The ones where the Voyager crew, it literally takes place after Endgame. So mm-hmm. when we see the ship Voyager making their way back to Earth, the books start at that very point. So that's Homecoming and The Father Shore are the first two books of Voyager mm-hmm. being home. And then for not last month, the month before, we read for Trek Book Club, we read Full Circle.
Full Circle, that's the one.
Which is a bit later on in mm-hmm. the Voyager relaunch series, when, well, spoiler alert, If you don't want to know, stop listening now.
Well, I only read like the first couple of chapters because I still wanted to be ready for Trek Book Club, and I failed.
It is hard. People have got really busy lives, and it's a big commitment to sit down and, you know, I find it hard. I struggle sometimes to read a book in time for the discussions, but that's why. Again, as I say, I probably shouldn't admit to this, but that's why I do it, because having these discussions motivates me to get it finished in time. And So
which one of the two novel that you just said regarding the continuation of Endgame, basically, that essentially I would like to read it as well, because I noticed them myself. I think I got one of the TNG books when you've been doing TNG. I think it was Battle of Beta Z. That was on the list a couple of months ago.
That's a fantastic novel. I really enjoyed that. It's, if you like Deanna Troi, and it's such a, again, that's a good, really good example, because it's a book that fleshes out a tiny, tiny moment that you see on screen. Mm-hmm. So it's when in DS9, at the height of the Dominion War, Captain Sisko mentions, and it's just like a 5 seconds in the script, he mentions that, or I think, I can't remember, I think Major Kira actually tells Captain Sisko that Beta Z has fallen to the Dominion.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's what they say, and this book is all around those few words, and it fleshes out the whole story of how the Dominion took Beta Z, what happens on Beta Z when it's occupied, how the Federation and Starfleet rescue and recapture Beta Z. It's a really, really good novel. Really good novel.
So when it comes to novels, like now I kind of start to see a pattern, but you correct me here if I'm wrong. So when you think about the books and you're trying to get into one of them, you're looking into the way to actually get an explanation and get a book that explains something that you've seen in the show, or get something totally different. Like, I don't know, season 5 of the original series.
So, as in, how do we pick?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, in all honesty, I don't do a lot of the picking. I leave it up to people that take part in the discussion. So I have a Patreon page, and one of the perks for some of my Patreons is that they get to choose which book we read for Trek Book Club, or sometimes they get to pick a book that we put to the public vote. So a lot of the time I don't actually decide what book we're reading, they do. But when there are a few times when I do decide, and there isn't a hard and fast rule on how I decide which book we read. It can be down to literally what I fancy at the time. So I mean, as you said, like Voyager, DS9 are some of my favorites. So I tend to gravitate towards them sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's when a new book is released, I really want to, you know, devour that and find out about what's going on there. Especially when with Discovery and Picard, when a new book comes out while it's on the air, or when it's recently been on the air, it's really interesting to read. So we did The Last Best Hope by Una McCormack recently, and that was... That came out. That was released when Picard was on the air, and that was really interesting to read that while watching Picard. Yeah, and to it gave you a lot of background knowledge of the two Romulans, Laris and Jovan, that live with Picard. Why, you know, who they are and why they're there, and it tells you all about how Picard got to where he is and what happened with the Romulan disaster and relocation. And yeah, it provides a lot of background. So that's another really good one I recommend. If you enjoy Picard, definitely read that.
So if anyone really needs a short track of Shaban and they can get it from the book, basically.
Yeah.
That's cool. So talking about Una McCormack, you have met her. Have you?
Several times, yeah. Lucky enough. Yeah.
In Destination Convention, which where you were a panelist.
Yeah, I know. That was...
How did that happen?
So, that was very strange. For Destination Star Trek 2019, It was quite late in the day, but they probably about a month or maybe a month or two before the convention, they tweeted out that they were going to have a fan stage. So previously they'd only had three stages. They have the Enterprise stage, which is the main stage, and they have the Excelsior stage, and I think the Voyager. Do they have a Voyager stage?
I think it's a couple of years ago it was Voyager stage, but I'm not sure what these days.
And so they added a fourth stage, which was a fan stage, and they said that people could submit ideas for panels. So I thought, why not? Because the previous year when I'd been, they often have panels discussing with the authors, discussing books and new books coming out. So I thought, well, why not? I think I could do that. And I thought I could even have like a live version of what we do at Trek Book Club, like a live book discussion. So I submitted the idea and then was lucky enough to hear back and got accepted. And I reached out to Una McCormack and said, we'd love to discuss your book at DST. We'd love to have you with us to discuss your book. And she agreed. She's brilliant about it. She was really excited, and we got to discuss Enigma Tales with her, which is her book about
Is the one with Garak? DS9 story.
That's right. So it's post-war, post-Dominion War Cardassia. And it's got Garak as the leader of the Cardassian Union, and it's got Dr. Pulaski in it from TNG.
Oh wow.
And it's
spoilers.
it's a great novel. It's really fun. She's really good in it. He's really good in it. It was brilliant just to have her with us discussing her book and, you know, why, because she writes that she really enjoys writing about Cardassians, and Garak's one of her favorite characters. So it was really, really good to, you know, pick at her brains and find out why she likes Cardassians so much and why she why she enjoys writing about them. And it was great. There was quite a few people there, and we had questions in the audience talking about the book and what they liked, what they didn't like, characters they liked, events they liked, and they were asking Una questions about the book. And yeah, it was really fun. Really fun. It was nerve-wracking, but fun.
Well, I still remember when you posted, and I seen pictures of you on stage, Una McCormack, and I was like, and I don't know, I just felt so so happy for you, because I know we talked about this in the last couple of years, and you know how you got back into Star Trek in a sense for the community, and how you started all these things and being there. It just, I don't know, just felt that immerse. I don't know, I'm just like waving into the air now. I don't even know what to say. It's like one of those moments in the podcast when I like, Gary, talk! Awkward silence! No, no, but it's true.
Imagine doing that on stage at DST, so I know how you feel.
It's funny, I only been in one convention, it was really a small private convention in King's Langley. Bless them. It was fantastic. It was awesome. But I remember I had to go up to the stage, and in the audience there was the other panelists plus two other people. So not much of an audience. But I had to go to the stage, and even though there was like 5-6 people watching, I had to talk, and I got a bit chilled. Saying that, I don't know what to say now, but you know, I will do something. But I don't think I would be able to do any panels. Kudos to you.
If I can do it, anyone could do it, because I found it really nerve-wracking. I was very, very nervous, but I did it. So if I can do it, anyone could do it.
So the encounter and the chess with Una McCormack, did that change, or did that enrich the experience that you read from the books, or I'm not sure if I'm asking this question right.
Yeah, no, it absolutely. It's always interesting to have the author's insights as to why they wrote a character a certain way, or you know, why they focused on that character. Why did they choose that character to, or why did they accept to write about that character? So it's always good to hear from authors about that sort of thing. We're lucky enough, not all the time, but sometimes we have the authors join in the discussion about the book that we're reading about. Mm-hmm. So we've had Una regularly joins in some of the discussions. We've had James Swallow, another author, join in the discussions. We've had, who else have we had? We even had, not an author, but an actor, Aaron Eisenberg, who sadly isn't with us anymore. When I first started Trek Book Club, the first book that we read and discussed was, it's called Avatar, and it's the first of the DS9 relaunch series. Mm-hmm. It takes place straight after we leave DS9. Okay. And he joined in with the discussion because Nog's it part of that story. Mm-hmm. And he joined in and told us, you know, why he in that book, Nog's quite he's still quite scarred by the experiences of the war, and he doesn't mm-hmm. he says some quite harsh things about the Jem'Hadar. Mm-hmm. And Aaron Eisenberg explained why Nog might have been saying those things, obviously because, you know, of his mm-hmm. experiences with war. So it was great to have his insight. I'm always really flattered when actors and authors take part in the discussion. And it was quite sad actually last year when Aaron Eisenberg sadly died, and there was a condolences book at Destination mm-hmm. Star Trek, and I went and wrote in, you know, thank mm-hmm. you for taking part in, you know, the discussions about, that was really kind of you, and, you know, you're always, mm-hmm. he seemed like such a kind soul. He was always, you know, willing to talk to fans, and whether it was in at conventions or on Twitter or social media. So it was nice to be able to get to do that.
Yeah, no, he's definitely was one of the, I remember even when I met him, I think it was 4 years ago, He's definitely one of the nicest people in the Star Trek actor group. Not to say that the others are not, but he was like so open and so chatty, and, you know, like taking time to, even if, you know, he wasn't being intimidated by if he heard the same question like a million times. Like, yeah, of course, because, you know, for me, it felt like that if he answers a question about his character that he answered probably 15 million times, that's one explanation for that someone is going to be always new, and always new experience. Because that person never knew that fact. So, but a lot of things is like that, I guess. So I this is something that might be a bit cheesy, but I do have to ask. So after all the books you read, and probably it's not gonna be the last, because there's a lot of books out there, and there's a lot to read. Have you ever thought about that you might gonna write one?
Oh God, no. You know, once, in fact, it was around the time I started Trek Book Club. I was on holiday in God, where was I? Where did I go on holiday? I can't even remember.
Right.
I wish. It was somewhere in, I think it might have been Northumberland, I think, and it was a really remote location, mm-hmm. and it was a cold, dark, miserable night, and I didn't have much to do, so I sat down with pen and paper and thought, you know what, I've heard about fan fiction, I'll just for the fun of it, just for me, I'll just flesh out a story. Mm-hmm. But I've never actually, you know, put pen to paper or put anything online or anything like that. But funnily enough, Una McCormack, when, you know, people regularly ask her about how she got into writing Star Trek novels, mm-hmm. and that is how she got into Star Trek novels, into becoming an author. She wrote fan fiction and posted it online, mm-hmm. and someone an editor approached her. It doesn't, and she always says that she's incredibly lucky, because that isn't a common way to get into it. She says she was very lucky to get into it that way, but I haven't ever I wrote like a page or two of a rough story idea. And unsurprisingly, it was based on Voyager. but maybe one day I'll properly write it down and maybe put it on a fan fiction website. We'll see.
You should. I mean, definitely the amount of books that you read. How many books did you read ever since you started the book club?
So we read one a month. I think this one is the 35th this month.
Wow.
We started it in, I think, August 2017. Mm-hmm. So it's been going for a few years now.
Yeah. Wow. So yeah, and after all these books, you probably have an idea like how, you know, the structure works and how to put together, and then, you know.
You'd think, wouldn't you? You'd think.
I mean, you know, I guess the same analogy could go to episodes, like, oh, how much Star Trek you watch, you could probably direct an episode, but when it comes to that, it's, I guess it's a bit different. But like with books, it's more like, you know, telling a story. And if you get that idea, I guess that you can, you know, channel that through pen and paper.
Yeah, one day.
No, absolutely, and not really on the book side, but you do have a podcast as well.
Yes.
The Trek Book Club podcast.
Yes.
So is it a complimentary for the Trek Chat, Trek Book Club Twitter account? Or? Mm.
Yeah, so we just talk about the books. So myself and my co-host, Rick, we discuss the books that we read for Trek Book mm-hmm. Club, and we read out some of the comments that people have made during the discussion on Twitter, mm-hmm. and we talk about those. So it's just a complimentary version of what we do on Twitter. Instead, it's just mm-hmm. me talking about it with my friend Rick.
So I think this is the point when we arrived to that surprise thing that I've been teasing you about. I mean, if my followers probably gonna listen to this podcast episode, by this time it's not gonna be new to anyone. But at this time, and this time of the recording for you, is totally a brand new thing. So I'm just gonna throw it out there. It's a little game I invented called Do Your Chat, which is a Captain Kirk impression game. So I'll ask you, they can do whatever the line you like, your best Captain Kirk impression.
Nobody wants to hear this.
You will be surprised. I can start if you like, and you can take it over.
Yeah, I guess that's the only way you could do it, really, is by talking like this. That's as far as my impression goes.
No, that's fun. No pressure at all. I mean, it's a silly little game. But yeah, no, it's fun. So when you like doing your own things the other day, I'm just wondering, when someone says in the back Star Trek, and you're like in totally like, I don't know, you're cooking and you don't think about anything, but someone shouts Star Trek, what is the first thing that comes to your mind?
If someone says the word Star Trek to me, what's the first thing that comes to my mind?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, it's this wouldn't have been the answer I would have given when I first watched Star Trek, because I wasn't aware of its existence then, but now it would be community. It would be the sense of community that comes with Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not actually, you know, the episodes themselves. It's the fan community that is what's really special, for me anyway. That sense of family and that support network of Trekkies. That's the first thing that pops to my mind.
Mm-hmm. Which is
the generosity of Trekkies and the kindness and
So now I'm kind of wondering if aside this, which is a beautiful thing to acknowledge, you said like if you don't know Trek as it is now, what would you have said?
So if you asked me that question back when
let's say like 5 years ago, someone asked you the same question. Or am I asking silly things again?
No, I guess it would be, it would probably be the answers that a lot of people give. I guess, like, that sense of, you know, a hopeful future.
Mm-hmm.
Hope, I think, is one of the overriding messages of Star Trek. Yeah, hope, family, belonging, idealism, all those, you know, positive aspects of Star Trek that we all love. That probably would have been my answer.
But no, I love the community though. I do too. It's amazing, like, how many good people out there, and how many things that you would never come across with, and you never thought about. It's just like, you know, comparing things and reading someone's idea about an episode or an experience that they had, and that's always eye opening and just helps you kind of focus on, not focus, like, just helps you really see everything from a different perspective.
Yeah, no, definitely. I always find that fascinating, seeing, you know, there's certain, someone will say something about a certain episode that I had never really thought of before, or I hadn't picked up on, or they've seen it from a completely different angle. So it's always really interesting to hear other people's opinions. And I even like it when, you know, people say, oh, I love this episode, and I think, really? That's, oh God, I never would have picked that episode. And then I look at it and watch it and think, oh yeah, they've picked up on something I didn't even think of in that episode, and it gives you a better appreciation for it.
So yeah. What was the recent experience? Like, let's say you had an episode in mind, and I'm just curious, because I watched a few episodes recently that I thought, and I didn't remember being like so extraordinary, but then I rewatched it randomly, and I was like, wow, like, I why didn't I notice this before? So what was, like, that one episode that you would, like, yeah, that episode from Voyager was always one of those, you know, black sheeps, and now it's among the good guys.
Oh, I'm just thinking of an episode that I might have seen that's that I never really rated as highly, and mm-hmm. and after watching it, I now appreciate it more. I'm just trying to think of an episode that I've seen lately that would apply to.
I know, there's so many.
There is, yeah.
Like,
do you know what? One, actually, there's probably two that I can think of that when I first watched them growing up, I controversially didn't rate them as highly as what other people did. And that was two episodes, one of DS9, Far Beyond the Stars, and what was the other one? Far Beyond the Stars, and I can't remember the other one now. But anyway, when I was growing up, because you're younger, you know, you're a bit more fascinated with the, you know, the glitz and the glamour, you know, the big space battles. Yeah. And I don't think I really fully understood the story that was happening, and the you know, the history, and the, you know, the how it's, you know, the social commentary of some of the episodes. And now I watched an episode like Far Beyond the Stars. Oh, Duet. That's the other episode I was thinking of.
Oh, the one with Kira.
Yes. So growing up, I didn't get those episodes really. You know, because they don't have big space battles. There's not lots of action and drama. It's just about characters, and it's about you know, emotional struggles and turmoil and. But now, because I'm older, I get that a lot more. I get the episode. I get what it means, why it's talking about these things. You know, Duet is obviously looking at Kira's past, and, you know, the awful struggle that she had during the occupation and the slaughter of, you know, her people. And then Far Beyond the Stars, obviously, it's talking about, you know, the civil rights movement and... you know, the struggle for, you know, the black communities to, you know, for equality. And now I fully appreciate how awesome both those episodes are. both as just stories and because of what they're talking about, in terms of, you know, like I said, Far Beyond the Stars, the history with, mm-hmm. you know, the fight for in the civil rights movement, and with Duet, mm-hmm. you know, parallels with, you know, the Second World War and, you know, Nazi Germany and the Holocaust and things like that. So I think sometimes it can, you know, when you've watched an episode when you were younger, and then you come back and watch it when you're a lot, when you're older, you have a much better appreciation for the story.
I think I had something similar with Voyager at some point, because I you know, like, just as TNG fans always remember Best of Both Worlds as one of the highlights of the season, and not necessarily for the Fistful of Data, which probably not a fan favorite, and I just said something ridiculous now. But like with Voyager, I know I loved Scorpion, Rear of Hell, it was beautiful. Equinox was one of my favorite double parter, but
Equinox.
But like thinking about an episode like Mortal Coil, which, you know, Neelix dies and comes back to life because of Seven, and he's dealing with all this, and I didn't remember being such a good episode, but then I think a couple of weeks ago I watched it just out of, you know, out of everything, and I was like, I never been the keen of that episode, but then when I watched it I was like, wow, I almost teared up, because it was such a beautiful story. Yeah. And I think, as I mentioned off camera, I started my DS9 rewatch and Move Along Home, which is a fan disfavorite, let's say, because some people are like, oh, what was the Amorian episode? No one was the Amorian episode. But it's such a charming episode.
I love Move Along Home. I've got a real soft spot for episode, like, silly episodes that perhaps people that aren't always fan favorites, like... Mm. You know, the Move Along Home and the Thresholds of the Star Trek world. I love silly episodes like that. I love those.
Threshold is a classic. Yeah, it raises a few eyebrows for sure. But then I remember the first watching it, I didn't think about, like, oh, they became lizard, and then like, oh, they reverted back to lizard, to human. Like, it just felt fascinating for me back then, and it still does. Even though I know even the actors find it a bit silly. You know, like, I think Garrett Wong recently said, when they launched the podcast, the Delta Flyer podcast, they said, oh yeah, we have to talk about this episode eventually too. So they're aware of that's not a good episode, but it still, I think, has some really good qualities. And I think all of Star Trek has some qualities. Even if there's no bad episode, it's just, you know, depends how you interpret the episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, there's one thing that I want to ask, and this is being major part of the podcast, aside from getting to know you a little bit more and what you do and you know, your influence for the Star Trek fan community, which is, in the last couple of years, I have to say that you're one of the most influential people as long as, you know, the Trek literature goes, and just being kind and being out there and inspiring people. But when it comes to yourself and your love towards Star Trek, and hence the title of the episode, the podcast is Warm Blanket. So the one thing that's how I call my warm blanket is my Star Trek is my warm blanket, because it comforts me when I need it. What is your warm blanket when it comes to Star Trek?
I think it's kind of like what I mentioned before. So when I was a kid, when I started watching Voyager in particular, it provides that sense of familiarity, escapism, and comfort, and it is like a warm blanket that when you're feeling down or you're having a tough time, well, for me anyway, I put on Star Trek, you know, I put on an episode I love, and I immediately feel better. And you know, it's Star Trek's helped me through so many difficult times. So yeah, it really is. You know, the title of your podcast is so apt, because it really is like a warm blanket. It's something we all go to when we're feeling down, need cheering up, or we want a good laugh. you know, we've all got the episodes we go to, you know, those, the tear jerkers, or, you know, the ones that make us laugh. And they always make you feel good. So, yeah. That's one of the reasons I love Star Trek.
That's beautiful. And then, you know, there's no bad answer, because everyone has a different warm blanket. This is beautiful in many level. Well, Rob, what's the future holds for the Trek Book Club and for Trekkie Rob? If you can give us a glimpse.
Well, hopefully, I intend on Trek Book Club continuing. So I'll carry on reading Star Trek books, discussing them on Twitter. I'll carry on with the podcast. I'm hoping to maybe have some of the authors on our podcast talk about the books that they've written. So yeah, that's something that hopefully will happen in the future. Maybe once we get out of this lockdown and conventions happen again, maybe I might pitch another panel. That would be cool to do that again. But to be honest, it's just, yeah, I'm going to carry on with the Star Trek pub quizzes I do. As long as people want to attend. I'm doing watch parties as well. So I'm getting people together, and we, you know, we get on Zoom and watch an episode of Star Trek together, or we watch a movie together and talk about it. And I just want to carry on interacting with fans and, you know, making new friends, and yeah, that's it really. It's more of the same.
More the same. You know, I kind of have a bonus question about watch parties. How many? You've done a few of them, right? Ever since. Or is it going to be your first one?
So the last one I did the first one I did in lockdown was Star Trek First Contact, and that was on. It was on, obviously, First Contact Day, which is also my birthday. April the 5th. Is my birthday and First Contact Day, so I've got a few of my friends, and I've met, you know, I've gotten to know fellow Trekkies through people, you know, saying, oh, can I come and join this watch party, and they join and then we chat, and I've gotten to know them. So yeah, we did First Contact a few weeks ago. We did Insurrection, and the next few days, well, it might be once this podcast comes out, but we're doing the Undiscovered Country in a few days' time. So hopefully a few people will join for that.
It's a very interesting jump from like First Contact from the 8th and then 9th Insurrection, and then go back.
Oh, there's no order. There's no logic.
I thought like, no, just deliberately want to skip 10.
No, there's no logic. We're just like jumping about all over the place.
Well, Rob, thank you very much for being part of this podcast. It was really, I'm really glad that we did this, even though I might sound a bit down, probably just getting down with some flu. So apologies if I wasn't as, you know, cheerful as I usually am, and for my audience as well. If anyone don't know you already, which is probably not possible, where people can find you and connect you with?
So the best place to find me is probably on Twitter. So my Twitter handle is @TrekkieRob, and you can find Trek Book Club on Twitter, and that's @TrekBookClub. And there's a website as well, which is just trekbookclub.com. So, yeah, but the main place is Twitter. So yeah, if you want to talk Star Trek, follow me, come and chat Star Trek.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much again for being in the show. It was a really honor to have you on, and long overdue as well. And I'll really hope that one day we will be back as a precious guest, just as now. And thank you very much again for being here. Thank you very much for my listeners to listening to another Warm Blanket episode. And until next time, live long and prosper. And that was it for this episode. I really hope that you enjoyed it, and rest assured, new episodes will be coming out every week, where we sit down with a Trekkie to find out what makes us feel good about Star Trek and to discover what is our warm blanket made of. If you really enjoy listening to this podcast, please leave a review on your favorite podcasting app. It would really mean a lot to me. To find out more about this audio adventure, please visit truckerprize.com/podcast, where you can also listen to the previous episodes. Thank you again for listening to yet another episode of the Warm Blanket Podcast, and I'll see you in the next episode. Live long and prosper.